I mean, my question is, have we missed the boat on her peak cultural relativity? Are we attaching ourselves to a sinking ship by doing another one of these?
She quite literally has an album coming out in like 3 weeks.
And who's talking about it?
Me. I just did.
But I don't know. I just feel like the NFL season is over.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big part of it. I just, like, she's on tour right now. And I feel like my TikTok For You page, maybe it's just because it's an international audience now, but I'm not seeing as much. I'm not seeing as much fervor.
That's good for us because it demonstrates our commitment to the brand.
Right. So you don't think we should be...
We weren't trend hopping.
No, yeah, you don't think we should be chasing trends.
No.
We're consistent.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but...
I'm consistent. I'm just questioning for the growth of the pod.
Right.
The ever-growing podcast.
That's why you pushed for this bracket to be 128 songs.
Chris, drop everything now. It's time for another episode of High Floor, Low Ceiling. Fun wordplay? Off from our eventual winner? Spoilers.
Is the episode happening now?
I think so. We dropped everything.
I clicked start the tournament, water. And I've got a spinning wheel type situation. So we'll see how this works out.
There is a risk that we overloaded the servers of challenge.com for this bracket.
Challenge.
Well, folks, welcome inside another episode. There's no time to talk sports. The Blue Jays looked phenomenal in their opening day win yesterday. We're recording this on Good Friday. No time for the importance of Good Friday or the importance of the Blue Jays opening win. We got to get straight into this because we are doing a mega bracket.
I'm getting a 522 error code from challenge.com.
Not challenge. Of course, March is famously the month of brackets here at High Floor, Low Ceiling. It all began last year with a Taylor Swift bracket that was the source of celebration and controversy. Things that we both have been hearing about up to a year later. So this year, in order to finish off Bracket Mania here at March, High Floor, Low Ceiling.
Here at March.
we're tackling Taylor once again. But we're one-upping ourselves in a way that only the geniuses at High Floor, Low Ceiling could. Not a 64-song bracket this year, folks. We are bringing you, in what is surely a terrible idea, a 128-song Taylor Swift bracket. More than half of her complete discography is on the bracket today, I believe.
A decision I will say was made late in the game.
Yes,
it was made by you.
I have been pushing for the 128. I think that is the key to really getting to the bottom of the best Taylor Swift song.
I will say there are still some exclusions that people might.
Listen, next year we'll do 256, and then we'll be close to having her whole discography. If we do 256, I think we'll only have to leave out, like, 50 songs.
Right. I was given unilateral control over the
You were? That's true. I said you are the expert here. I'm along for the ride. Last year, Emilio felt that you deferred to me too much, friend of the show Emilio Diaz. Mm. Are you going to be doing that again this year?
Well, you claimed that the need for another Taylor Swift bracket was because you had educated yourself.
I've grown.
In the intervening time. Is this true?
Yes, I think so. I've seen the Eras Tour movie. I listened to lots of the Taylor's version stuff. I absorbed the cultural osmosis that was Taylor Swift. I think I'm better.
As a person or as a Taylor Swift fan?
I think I'm relatively the same as a person as I was last year. I haven't had a lot of growth in the last year, honestly.
Okay.
I'm kind of stagnant. Need a major change.
Didn't you move?
Yeah. No, I do think I'm a very different person than I was this time last year. And I can't wait for that to be reflected in my choices for the bracket.
Absolutely. Should we get started? Because this is not, there's no godly way that this is one episode.
Is this maybe three episodes? Considering our movie bracket we had to split into two, and that was 64, and this is twice as big as that.
This is what was posited by Evie.
A triple episode banger.
That will stretch well into April, much like March Madness.
It's very inappropriately named.
Yeah.
Why don't they start it on March 10th?
Okay.
Or like March 5th. Why isn't March Madness in March?
Why didn't we start this on March 5th?
Yeah, good question. That'll be next year when we do 256.
I guess I should open up the challenge.
Is it working? Have you tech whizzed your way to...
I've whizzed on it. Do you know that my nickname... This is true.
What?
That my nickname in college was Whiz.
Is that because...
I heard a cry of confusion from the other room.
And is that because you were good with computers or good in class?
Simply because I was so smart.
Wow. That's all there really is
this
to it,
this is only
it,
with
guess.
A select group of people who, you know, would be the kind of people to believe me to be smart. It's a reflection on them.
Yeah, really. Tells us a lot about them.
What do you call me as a nickname, quickly?
Me?
Behind my back? Yeah.
Oh,
if you were to think of a nickname for me.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't believe in nicknames. That's how I'm going to get out of that one.
Good call. Griffin, round one. It's... This is so stupid.
What? The entire concept?
There's 128 songs on here. Griffin's Snow on the Beach from Midnights versus 22, big single from Red.
Well, we know friend of the show Connor O'Neill's a massive Lana Del Rey fan, so we got to take that into account. But I do think it's 22.
I think it's 22 as well. We don't need to... I think if we have if we agree on the winner, then there's no need to deliberate.
Yeah.
22, not one of my favorites, but still a very fun song.
Right. I like that you have...
Wide-eyed.
Properly capitalized or non-capitalized all of these
of course
songs.
Next up, Griffin, Exile from Folklore versus The Archer from Lover. The Archer, an underrated song in my opinion.
Yeah, people furious that it was it left out of the Eras Tour set list or left out as the Eras Tour movie?
I believe it was left out of the movie.
Right.
And of course, famously, The Archer was I don't know if it was technically a single, but it was one of the first songs that we had from Lover.
Really?
And people were a little, I will say, it made people a little trepidatious about what the album was going to sound like, because people were like, this is not a very propulsive song.
No.
And so it was a little strange that she released it as a single. Of course, as we all know, Cruel Summer later exploded as a single years after the fact, but yeah. That's neither here nor there. I prefer Exile, personally.
Yeah, I really like the Bon Iver songs on Folklore and Evermore, so I'm happy to give that to Exile.
Okay. Exile was one of my favorite Folklore songs. It has since maybe diminished a little among Folklore songs, but still a great song. Two album cut. This is an absurd matchup here, Griffin. Invisible String from Folklore versus Happiness from Evermore. Do you know either of these songs?
I definitely know Invisible String, tying you to me.
Exactly.
Happiness I might need a couple bars of, if you wouldn't mind just warbling a bit for me here.
If I wouldn't mind warb. It doesn't have much of a chorus, I will say. It's like, there was happiness before you.
Oh.
There was happiness because of you.
Yeah.
Both of these things can be true. There was happiness in our history.
You're not really telling me the tune, but those lyrics do sound familiar. I think that there's an invisible string tying that song to the second round. So,
sure.
Come on.
Precisely.
Come on.
Rough matchup. Back to December from Speak Now versus All Too Well. We got the 10-minute version on here. It is not double entered, but we're going with the 10-minute version as the default.
And folks, this is what we mean when we say this is a tough bracket. Anyone can win and anyone can lose. Random seeding, of course, gives us a really tough matchup here in the first round. Neither of these songs
is Back to December up against Invisible String or Happiness. I think that it takes it at a walk. But unfortunately, that wasn't the way the bracket shook out.
The bracket gods frowning on All Too Well or Back to December.
I think it would be patently absurd for All Too Well to go in the first round, both on a personal
Back to December is her first amicable breakup. It's a big milestone.
Okay.
You got to respect that.
I do respect that.
You got to acknowledge that spot in history. All right, give it to All Too Well. But honorable mention to Back to December. Absolutely. I do love All Too Well, 10-minute version.
Certainly a top 64. Well, maybe not, but certainly a solid entry in the catalog. For next up, we have Mean from Speak Now versus Tolerate It from Evermore. This is the kind of Evermore song, I will admit, that I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah, me neither.
Along with Happiness.
So I'll give it to Mean. One thing, I'm going to rail against this trend. Ariana Grande does it too, of all lowercase song titles. What's the point of that? Does it just seem like cute and artistic?
It's kind of Tumblrian.
Yeah, I don't like it. They're titles. Capitalize them.
Yeah, show some respect.
Yeah,
for yourself.
To the titles. Another. When I say a good one, that means I know both of them. This is another good one.
I think this is a good one. Also, a recent one: Champagne Problems from Evermore against Lavender Haze from Midnights. I think sort of two underrated songs.
Yeah. I just want to stay in the first round as Champagne Problems goes through to the second. That's what I think.
I have no problem with that. I think I pretty much would put these on the same level. They're both, I think, very... I was talking about this recently, that there are some songs that just sound like the album that they're on.
Right.
Which
these are both, I think, examples of that.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. That unfortunately, sometimes that means that they are failing to distinguish themselves from, you know, with any sort of original or like little extra oomph to distinguish themselves. But I think both of these are very solid songs, and I agree that I'm fine with Champagne Problems going through.
Yeah, she should be proud of both of these songs, I think, when she's looking back.
Now I think Challenge is starting to fail us.
Oh no, it pushed through.
Should we press on and then we can go back and input the winners after?
Sure. Do you want to write them all down one by one?
I guess I will. I'll put little tags. I'll type a CP in our chat.
Oh, I'm going to get a notification for everyone. That's good. I appreciate
it. You have audio notifications on Discord? That's your problem.
No, I do not. Hello, Mr. Perfectly Fine. Nice to see you here in the first round, going up against Superman, which, let's be honest, tough to beat in a one-on-one fight, Superman. He can fly. Yeah. He's got the super strength. He's more...
heat vision.
Yeah. Freeze breath. Do you think he ever mixes up his heat vision and his x-ray vision? Like, and tries to x-ray someone and just fries
stress off?
Whoa. No one's accusing Superman of being a sex criminal.
Is that you can't get into this.
Is it a crime for you? Yes.
I'm not saying is it bad. Of course we know it's bad. Is it a crime?
Could you legally prosecute him?
I don't know if you could.
Just, do you think there's like no proof that it happened?
That's a big part of it. But even if you could prove it, like, what
is it a crime to look? Which I think yes, because like, is it not a crime to like peep? Isn't it the same thing as peeping?
That's interesting.
People have an expectation of privacy.
Sure.
When they wear clothing.
So true. I won't debate this any further.
you're seemingly coming down.
I just think it's an interesting legal quandary,
yeah.
Not a moral quandary. I want that to be very clear. Both of these, I would say, are a little mid.
What?
Both from the
you're messed in
from
the head.
The Fearless Speak Now era. I think Superman, I have a problem with on a sort of base level. Like, I think it's a very sort of regressive song, perhaps. I think the lyrics about, you know, she doesn't really have that many, if any, other songs that are about, like, my partner is so cool and more powerful than me and, like, takes care of me. Like, it's a very... It really puts herself in the low status position, which is an unusual move for her.
The lowest status position.
Sure, Peter Griffin.
It's a messed up of you to undercut my hilarious joke.
And then Mr. Perfectly Fine. Hey, lives up to its name,
no,
right, folks?
It, as in perfect. Send it through.
Okay, that's fine by me. Mr. Perfectly Fine will go through, and I'll write a little MPF here. Griffin, a late addition. It won its first four matchup to get into the tournament.
That was just you listening to Taylor Swift before we did this.
It's just me looking at a list of songs and saying, oh, I forgot about that one. The very first night, a red? Wait, no. Is it? It is red, right?
In the middle of the very first night of my dreams. It is red, yes.
That's cool. A red cut versus You're Not Sorry, a Fearless cut. It got in because I saw its title and I said to myself, that should be on there. You're Not Sorry. There are a few sort of Fearless songs that sort of fit right into the same vein, like... that sort of middle chunk of Fearless. I know you know this album well, Griffin. But
yes.
Tell Me Why, You're Not Sorry, The Way I Loved You, Forever and Always. They're all kind of like heartbreak songs.
Yeah, I think that You're Not Sorry is sort of one of the more forgettable ones on the album, if I'm being honest. And I like The Very First Night. So I'm right. Happy to send that through.
All right. The Very First Night gets through. I don't know why I keep trying
You believe in challenge.com.
Is that a crime? Or even a moral quandary?
Oh, boy.
Ooh, wow.
Boy, back to back. Dude, you're scrolling all over the place. I can't even keep track of where we are in the bracket here.
We're here.
Yes. Oh, my God.
A big matchup. And what
I think you've rigged this, too. I don't think you randomized this. I think you're trying to weed out the singles early on.
Because this is the big thing that we talked about, sort of the merit of including the singles. Save it for Friend Roll, out now on VOD, Zach Braff, Vanessa Hudgens. Fascinating-seeming movie.
I know.
Did we talk about this? We didn't talk about this on Mike.
No, we definitely did not talk about French Girl on Mike.
Just look up the plot summary of French Girl.
I've seen
the
trailer,
see what goes down in that film.
I'll prepare a dramatic reading of the French Girl. I accidentally Googled French Grill.
Hey, French, that sounds good too.
Yeah, that would be a great restaurant. But Gordon is a hopeless romantic whose proposal plans are put in jeopardy when his girlfriend gets swept away to Canada by a job offer from her ex, who I believe is also a woman.
That's the big thing.
Determined to keep their love alive, he leaves Brooklyn, New York for her hometown, only to find himself out of his depth while trying to charm her hard-to-impress French-speaking family. Currently rocking at 26% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Awesome. Perfect.
There's one showing in Toronto today at the Young and Eglinton at 10 to 8, if you would like to go.
Wonderful. I'll be there.
I do love V. Hudge.
Exactly. That it's a movie about...
Oh, and William Fichtner, isn't it?
Ah. Of course, the most difficult choice in the world, Griffin... Would you rather date Zach Braff or Vanessa Hudgens?
Yeah, that I lie awake at night with that one.
But Griffin, this is a matchup of two singles. We debated the merits of including the singles because they're very well known, often some of her most popular songs, but frankly,
my dear,
often not some of her best songs, in my humble opinion. We do not. Some singles are not on this bracket. There's no Bad Blood on this bracket.
I'm mad about that. Kendrick Lamar's best verse.
That's absurd.
Of his career.
There's no me on this bracket.
As a former grocery store employee, I do thank you for that. They love me in the grocery stores. They also love me in the grocery
stores. They love me in the grocery stores. But Griffin, this is a matchup of I Knew You Were Trouble and You Belong With Me. Two smash hit singles.
Smash hits. I never really liked I Knew You Were Trouble.
Wow.
It'll be fun. It's fun if you're in the club dancing to it, but like, wow. Ah. I don't find it very musically interesting.
That's fair. It has not, I think all of the singles off of Red, in my opinion, have not aged particularly well. I think that is her, it's weirdly her album that has a lot of very sort of timeless songs, like All Too Well, I think is a classic example of like, that could come out at any time and be a hit song at any time. Whereas I Knew You Were Trouble and We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, it's like those couldn't be on any other album in her discography. So they do date themselves a little to that, like early 2010s, Fun was topping the charts, Gautier was
I do love Fun
in the mix. And so I think that's the kind of energy that it projects.
Yeah, I think that they're very of their time, and they're also very of the first round. So I think You Belong With Me.
Mm. I would agree with you. Another big matchup for you, Griffin.
This is hard.
A big single, Love Story, from, of course, Fearless, and Better Than Revenge.
Going up against the misogynist anthem.
Well, it changed its lyrics, Griffin.
Well, famously. Love Story.
I agree. Griffin, here's another couple of, not deep cuts, because one of them is the first track on the album, but a couple of slightly more obscure songs. Everything Has Changed from Red, featuring Ed Sheeran, of course.
Right.
And The One from Folklore, the opening track on Folklore.
Can we do The One by Hannah Montana instead?
He's got something special.
The movie starring Jet Li.
And when you're talking to me, I want to get all sentimental. He's got something special. I could he could be the one. That was the part that I had to get to.
What are you typing?
I'm not. That's actually the creaking of my kitchen table.
Whoa. Might be time to get a new table.
This is a very old table.
I love The One, personally. I really like Everything Has Changed, too. I think these are both two great sort of under-the-radar picks, in my mind. But I do prefer The One. I still remember, you know, there's a new Taylor Swift album out. We don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah.
You listen to that first song, and you're like, whoa.
Surprise drop, shit. Too, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
It does say shit.
I don't think there was a single, certainly. But yeah. And so it really sort of brought her new era in, not to invoke that word, but with a, it really set the tone.
Yeah, I'm happy to give it to The One as well.
Okay. An interesting one here, Griffin. Wonderland, a bonus track from 1989 versus Teardrops on My Guitar, one of her first hits.
You love Wonderland, Chris.
Yes, and you, Griffin, were listening to it right before we recorded and said, this is a good song.
This is a good song, but however, so is Teardrops on My Guitar.
Sure. It's okay.
That's the real reason people tune into these episodes, to hear me do it in my chipmunk voice.
That's precisely right.
We can give this to Wonderland. I know it means a lot to you.
Okay. Okay, strange.
Take that, Emilio.
Take that, Emilio. A strange matchup up next. Two Midnights songs. Question. ... and Labyrinth. Two songs I would guess that you don't know.
I'm going to brush up. Why don't you vamp for 20 seconds?
I think these are both two, in my mind, very good songs. Labyrinth is almost the Archer of Midnights in a way, Griffin, because it sort of has this sort of steady, there's something under the surface, you know, it's sort of a Still Waters Run Deep kind of song that you're kind of expecting at some point will crest up into a sort of expansive conclusion or climax of some kind that never really comes. So, you know, some people might consider that underwhelming. I think that it's an exercise in tension, certainly. And sort of create, it's very evocative of a certain vibe. I do prefer Question. I think that's a more complete song. It's a more Taylor Swift song. If you were going to listen to a little clip of it, Griffin, I would recommend you jump to the bridge of Question. Has a terrific, you know, we always talk about Taylor Swift's bridges, but I think that one of her best, in my opinion.
Yes, that was very impressive vamping. I appreciated the analysis. It is Question. You're correct. Question is the great. Better song.
Let me mark that down. Thanks a lot, Challenge, by the way.
No longer a ringing endorsement of the... Our podcast used to be all in on Challenge.
That's true. Griffin, two later stage album... Well, not even album cuts, because we all know Mastermind. That was sort of a bit of a meme at one point. And then London Boy, of course, from Lover.
These are two great songs. I'll say it. I'm not afraid.
That's a little bold. I think they're two okay songs. I'm really thinking about how there are 64 of these.
We're moving great.
We're on 13.
I really like the way that Mastermind builds over the course of the song. London Boy. You know, I love London Boy. Get rid of the
Ontario.
Yeah. Does that song mean a lot to you as a proud London, Ontario resident? / native /
not a resident
immigrant.
No, I don't think it's very good. It's fine. It's trite. I don't think it's trying to be anything in particular.
You don't like the way she lists all the places in London.
That is actually the good part of the song. I do kind of question what drove her to include that. You know, maybe Joe really liked that one because he's like, oh.
Hey, that's one about me, Derry.
That's my song.
Hey, I'm a London boy. Wait a sec.
No one can misread this song as being about someone else.
Hang on a minute.
It's like Kensington Gardens with Joe is what the song should be called.
Hey, yeah, why don't we put Joe in the title there? Just make sure that everyone knows who you love.
Yeah, no, it's kind of ironic that...
Can we call a song Billy Flynn?
Billy Lynn, you fool.
In Britain, it came out as Billy Flynn.
Wow. It's kind of ironic because we have, of course, New York Joe and Old England Jeffrey.
Yeah, I hope Joe Alwyn doesn't know Old England Jeffrey.
I think that we had to change the name to avoid getting sued by Joe Alwyn because we couldn't have an Old England Joe without him sort of getting a piece of that pie.
Right. We should have Joe Alwyn on the podcast again sometime. That was nice to have him drop in.
Right. That's correct.
Unfortunately, the London boys staying in London. She's moved on. Joe.
True. Wow, two heavy hitters here in my mind, Griffin. All You Had to Do Was Stay from 1989 and the title track from Speak Now. It's called Speak Now.
Drop everything now and move on to the second round.
That's of my course, vote. Sparks Fly.
Oh, fuck. Cut the VOD.
And we do have to go like 80% faster.
Speak Now is, of course, the song that goes, Speak Now. And he said, Speak Now. I know Speak Now. It's just like there's so many songs bouncing around in my head. It's tough to get them all straight when you have such a musical mind as I do. It's Speak Now.
It's true. It's tough to stay straight when you're listening to Taylor Swift, Griffin. Speak Now going through to the next round.
Not for me, it's not.
two great songs, in my opinion, but...
This one's all you.
Okay, two deep cuts. Change from Fearless and Peace from Folklore.
Oh, wait, one of them's from Fearless? I should probably know it, then.
I'm quite partial to Change. I believe this came up the last time we talked about Change.
These things will change.
Oh, yeah, intervening
now. Yeah, it's a good one, right?
Yeah, yeah, send that through. Great song.
Very underrated in my mind. So underrated that the self-proclaimed lover of Fearless does not know. Oh, my gosh.
But, like, I know the song. Oh, I just, no, oh, Griffin. No. The defending champ has entered the arena. The much like Raid Mubarak. What was Austin Butler's name? Raid Mubarak, I think, is like a greeting. Eid Mubarak.
Raid. Oh, God. Where the raid came into this.
I was trying to think of, what's Austin Butler's name in Dune 2?
His name was, of course, Nabaran Fade Rotha Harpy.
Fade Rotha. That's what I was thinking. Raid Mubarak. Apologies to anyone. I promise that was an honest mistake done with love in my heart. When's Eid? We now have to do an Eid special to make up for next time Eid comes around.
When is Eid 2024? Oh, good news, Griffin. April 11th.
Okay. Well, an early Eid Mubarak to everyone Absolutely. Who celebrates Eid. I am praying that I am using that correctly.
Mm-hmm. And shout out to everyone who's celebrating Ramadan right now.
Yeah. Ramadan Mubarak.
Not sure about that one. Just hold the reins there.
Yeah. It's Griffin, done with love.
The defending champion, August from Folklore.
This versus is tough.
Enchanted from Speak Now. I mean, what a tragic quirk of the seeding.
This is what we talk about, Chris. We said last year, if you did the bracket again, who knows what would happen to August. And now we're being faced with that very possibility. A tough, tough first round matchup.
I can't get over how we were slammed for picking August as the number one Taylor Swift
As if song. It's not a worthy win. Is it the guaranteed consensus winner? No, but it's a worthy winner.
I don't think there is a guaranteed consensus exactly. winner. That's what makes this bracket so exciting. That's why we can do this three times.
So we have to send August through, I think, for our own self-respect.
Well, I mean, I would just pick August. I mean, I love Enchanted. It's the quintessential of her, you know, her first three albums are sort of this... or especially Fearless and Speak Now, sort of a fairy tale evocation. You have Love Story, you have Enchanted. Those are kind of two sides of the same coin of this sort of fairy tale.
Who doesn't love the fairy tale of Romeo and Juliet?
Going to the ball. Oh, yeah, you think that... You're a fool. You think that that song is meant to directly invoke the imagery of Romeo and Juliet, the play.
Yes. She's very precise about it. She basically says, she "You were a Capulet and I was a Montague."
I think she's more evoking than.
There's actually a cut verse where she just rewrites "London Boy" as "Fair Verona Boy."
Fair Verona a boy.
You know I love Fair Verona Boy. I enjoy.
I think August is a terrific song. I mean, Griffin. I'm just looking at the lyrics right now, and I'm transported.
You're moved to tears.
Unironically, I am moved reading these lyrics. I think that it is directly representative of the maturity in her songwriting that came along, frankly, with the Folklore era, or at least like not necessarily the maturity in her songwriting, because I think she did always have this within her, but sort of her willingness to use more poetic, evocative imagery rather than shooting directly for a more heartfelt, she's sort of skirting all around it. It's sort of, we're getting the shape of this relationship through, you know, sort of the wisps that sort of come off of it rather than seeing the full body of the thing. I think that's a very, very powerful piece of imagery, especially when you're talking about a relationship that, by all accounts, if you listen to the song, did not have substance to it in the end.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great example of the music coagulating with the lyricism to create a really, really wonderful, vivid image.
just like your metaphor. I think that's a beautiful defense of a worthy champion, Chris, and I'm happy to send August through to the second round. Next matchup, we have Ivy against Breathe. I think that's pretty clearly Breathe.
Okay. Let's not be too hasty.
We kind of have to be hasty.
We love a song where Taylor Swift cheats. I would personally give it to Ivy here. I think Breathe is okay. It's a little bit plodding. We love Colby Calais, of course.
Yeah, she's great on Breathe.
Absolutely.
All right, give me 5 seconds to brush up on Ivy.
Okay. The Ivy grows, and now I'm covered in you.
Gross.
You don't like that imagery? Okay, I guess I need to be vamping here. Ivy is, of course, a track from Evermore. I think it's a great little work of imagery. Like, Evermore, when I think of Evermore, I think of that sort of, like, the crawling vine amidst sort of eroding stone, I think is the imagery that comes to mind for me.
Oh, wait, I remember Ivy now. Ivy is a good song.
Well, there you go.
All right, give it to Ivy.
Okay.
That's just for anyone listening along who's like, do I know Ivy? I just sing a couple bars so that they're like, oh, right, that one. There's a lot of titles. False God against You're On Your Own, Kid. Wait, how are we on matchup? I feel like
I'm probably on my own to pick the winner here.
How are we on matchup 19? I feel like we were further along than that.
Nope, only 45 to go, Griffin. Don't worry.
That one's You're On Your Own, Kid.
I will agree.
Yes.
I have to scratch my back so I can't type in the winner. But False God, underrated. Great use of saxophone. People think it's cheesy because it...
I love a sax.
Makes liberal use of a sax. I think it's a very sexy song, quite frankly.
Oh, my God. Oh, my False Griffin, God.
Our song versus Should Have Said No. A debut classic versus a sort of fan favorite from Fearless.
These are both good songs. I'm happy either way here if you want to pick one.
All right, I do love our song. I think that is the standout from her self-titled, so I'm going to go in that direction.
Okay.
Ooh, this is a real old versus new matchup. Two songs that are very indicative of the periods in which they were written. Fearless, title track from Fearless, and Mirror Ball from Folklore. I think these are both excellent songs. You're, I assume, listening to Mirror Ball.
Yeah, I'm not listening to Fearless, I'll tell you that much.
I mean, I think that there's a lot of beautiful things about this song. I think it's evoking an emotion or a sort of internal conflict that she would not have really had the wherewithal to put on an album prior to this point, probably.
Yeah, but also it's boring.
I think it's extremely...
I'm back from listening to Mirror Ball, by the way.
I think it's a wonderfully understated song. I think the chorus is very, like, it eludes sort of a hookiness, but also I think is just, it's excellent, in my opinion. I think I would pick it over Fearless, but it seems like I would
vote Fearless if you want to flip a coin.
I'm okay to vote Fearless. Okay. I just want Mirror Ball to be properly...
Yes, well, I'm glad you had a moment there to give it its due. All right, 7 against The Story of Us. I'm very, very partial to The Story of Us.
Wow, okay. I love 7. Everything I said about August, I think, is true of 7 as well. But, I mean, 7 is a much more... It's kind of ironic because 7 is sort of evoking happy memories, whereas August is evoking sadness, but... It's sort of an interesting emotional flip, and I believe that those two songs are right next to each other in the album. Yes, they are, Griffin.
A little bit of artistry. But
it's a very interesting emotional flip that she works with here because 7 is her sort of almost mournfully recalling her happy childhood, although, you know, there's some darkness in there. I think the bridge of 7 is one of the saddest but also most beautiful thing she's ever written.
Wow.
Whereas August is a wistful recollection of something that she now understands was not good,
right,
but she is sort of nostalgic for it despite the latent unhappiness that it spawned. I think 7 is a beautiful, beautiful work. I think that that could easily be in my top 10 songs.
All right, then we'll give it to 7.
Okay. Now you're the one deferring.
Well, I mean, I got shit on for it last year, so.
Amelia's so filled with rage.
He really is. He has haunted me for guys. A year. Right. I see his face every time I turn a corner. Cowboy Like Me against Holy Ground, Chris. I believe there's a mistake. You put a song from Cowboy Carter in this.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with Cowboy Carter.
It's 27 songs. That's too long for an album. It just released today.
Cowboy Like Me, Griffin, I will say, a song that I was thinking about cutting, and then I clicked on it, and I was like, wow, this is actually a really, really nice piece of songwriting.
I was going to say, my initial thought is I would have been fine for you to cut it. Like,
not a very Taylor Swiftian song, also. It just sort of, it blossoms in a very interesting way. I think that's one of her greatest achievements on the Folklore Evermore duology, is that she finds very interesting ways into songs. Like, it almost feels like Cowboy Like Me is a song that almost feels like it starts in the middle. And is this telling me to stretch? Whereas Holy Ground on Red, I think this is an excellent song. You know, we were talking about sort of the idea that she had songs that were of their time and songs that were more timeless. I think this is a more timeless song. A very driving drum pattern that I find very exciting. Definitely, you know, she's leaning more into the sort of almost rocky elements. It's an interesting album, Griffin, because she sort of goes in these two directions at the same time, where she's leaning into the rocky elements, similar to Speak Now, while she's also finding these new pop directions on, you know, songs like 22, songs like I Knew You Were Trouble. I think it's a very interesting direction that she takes, and I think Holy Ground really threads the Nino quite successfully.
Threads the Nino. I'm going to give it to Holy Ground.
Okay, Holy Ground it is. Talk about old versus new, Griffin. This is one of her most recent songs versus one of her oldest songs, Bejeweled from Midnights versus Picture to Burn from her debut.
I think that I would give it slightly to Picture to Burn, but I'm happy if you feel strongly about Bejeweled.
I'm happy with Picture to Burn as well. Bejeweled, I think it's good.
Yeah,
it's
fine.
A little confused why it became a single and why it became as big as it was, but one I know isn't going to be difficult, Griffin. Coney Island from Evermore versus Mine, the opening song on Speak Now.
Yeah, I do like Coney Island. I think that's a good song, but it's clearly Mine, one of her best.
I think that's right. Look What You Made Me Do, Griffin. You made me put Look What You Made Me Do on this giant bracket from Reputation versus White Horse from Fearless. A sad song, Griffin.
Yeah, I mean, what is the setting that we're listening to Look What You Made Me Do in? Because I think that sort of defines everything. Is it alone and it comes on shuffle? Because then it doesn't really work for me. But is it in a big group? Because then it's great.
I think it's interpolation of I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred. I think that was a mistake.
Wow. You don't think she should have tied herself to the genius of Right Said Fred?
I'll go out on a limb and say that that was a bad musical decision.
Are you going to punish it for it by leaving it in the first round?
I do. It's not one of my favorites. It does the Reputation style less successfully than other songs in my mind. But there are some great parts. Of course, we all remember the old Taylor Can't Come to the Phone. That was a seminal moment in
Definitely.
Her career.
I even remember that, and I wasn't super plugged in at the time. Exactly. I was more just listening to the radio, but that was a big deal. I think
White Horse is almost a
town in the
draft
Yukon.
For All Too Well.
Yeah.
And it's in the Yukon as well.
I'll give it to Look What You Made Me Do. Despite the presence of Right Said Fred.
I will go along with you on that. You made me do. It's a hard one to type out as an initialism.
Right. Chris, we're coming up on 45 minutes. So all right. Can you believe it? We'll time has flown. No breaks this episode, by the way.
I actually absolutely can't believe it. Griffin, Evermore versus Betty.
Betty, the best Betty song she's written lover? In 10 years. I am a Betty lover, right. So say Betty through.
You're all in on Betty. I remember this, that like we went to the Eras thing, and then you were like, I love Betty.
I do love Betty.
Not to give you a dumb voice.
Yeah, what the hell?
Gold Rush from Evermore versus Don't Blame Me from Reputation. I think you do not have a strong feeling on either of these songs, if I had to guess.
Doing it right. Don't Blame Me is fine. Gold Rush is fine. Do you have a strong opinion on either one of these songs?
Not really. I'd lean towards Don't Blame Me. That's kind of a fan favorite. She has that vocal run.
I get so high!
That one? That part too.
All right, send it through.
Cool. I do like Gold Rush. A very lush song, you know. So much of Evermore, I think about sort of like the idea of like sort of a spring bloom, and I think that it evokes that feeling very well. Interesting matchup here, Griffin. Treacherous from Red versus Out of the Woods from 1989. Do you have strong feelings about Out of the Woods, Griffin?
I like Out of the Woods. I think Out of the Woods is a good song, and that is the strongest feeling I can muster for it.
Okay. Do you have any strong feelings about Treacherous?
No, I do not.
I think if I had to pick... Ooh, it's a tough call for me. It seems like you have more of a handle on Out of the Woods.
I do. It's definitely more in my brain.
All right. We'll put Out of the Woods through then. That's fine by me. This is a very... this one's for the stands, Griffin. King of My Heart versus Cornelia Street. A Reputation versus Lover album cut battle.
Who was that who lived on Cornelia Street?
That's in New York City, Griffin.
Oh. Well, it was still me, Joe Alwyn, wasn't it?
I believe it was Taylor Swift, her own self, before she moved to London.
The song's about me, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay,
and the fact that it's not called Billy Lynn's Cornelia Street.
Billy Flynn's.
Billy Flynn.
Well, Cornelia Street's in New York, so I guess it would be Billy Lynn. Joe, is this why you said that Betty was the best song she'd written in 10 years? Because you famously have a co-writing credit on that song?
I mean, listen. That's just, it's just as a je ne sais quoi that,
Whoa.
Yeah, I speak a little French. You won't break up with me. You won't break up with me. I speak a little French.
There's a little je ne sais quoi to it.
You know who I bet doesn't speak a lot of French? Football players. None in particular.
Like Irving Holland? Or what's his name?
Erling.
Erling.
Come on, mate. Don't bring Holland into this.
But he's a footballer. Joe, what is your favorite football team? And I will be Googling to check.
I'm a Newcastle man, of course.
Ah.
My accent slipped into Hugh Grant a little there for a minute, but I'm back. I'm back.
I think you wish, Joe. Apparently, he is a lapsed fan of Chelsea, but doesn't care. I mean, you are. Sorry.
Yeah. Excuse me.
You're a lapsed fan of Chelsea, but don't care much about football anymore.
No. I don't care much about anything anymore, honestly. The world's dark and gray.
Wow. And you said your favorite rapper is Eminem.
Yeah, that's true. He captures the rage that I've been feeling the last few years.
I'm happy with either one of these.
It's Cornelia through. Street.
All right, Joe. All right. Just calm down. I think Joe needs to leave for the next
I need match. To go for a walk.
Griffin, I have some terrible news. We are like halfway through this.
This is fantastic news. All right. No more bits. This is getting serious.
All right.
We don't have all to right. finish the we'll... first round today.
Okay.
It's going to be 10 episodes.
Well, should we stop at 30 at the halfway through the first round?
Yeah, that's where we stopped our sports movie bracket was the first round. 32 matchups in.
Right.
So at that pace, it'll be a 4-episode series.
I think we can cut it to 3.
Yeah.
You know, obviously,
depends how much sports talk we want to do.
Yeah, I guess it could be an ongoing...
second so seg.
This week and next week, well, unfortunately... after this, I did dropped, your table break?
No, I dropped the friendship bracelet that I was fidgeting with.
Of course, the Taylor Swift bracelet.
Yes,
famously.
Midnights.
All right, well then, so this week and next week will be full Taylor Swift
full
bracket.
Taylor.
I don't know, do people like
did someone
these?
Say full Taylor?
Shut up, Joe.
He's outside. He's yelling from the balcony.
We don't need more of your inclusion in this.
He loves Betty.
Do you think people like these episodes?
I hope so.
I guess people listen to them. They did come up in discussion.
Yeah, people do. I think maybe our normal audience doesn't listen to them, but our not normal audience listens to them.
Mm,
so they have a different like listenership.
Crossover. Okay. Yeah. Do you think that there are people who are going to see this, come across their feet and go, oh no.
Maybe my father, who last year, faithful listener, and that's very appreciated, but last year he was like, wow, I sure learned a lot more about Taylor Swift than I ever thought I would know.
Well, there you go.
So, hey, still listened.
Griffin, let's just quickly, so hold, just there's two more matchups till we're at 32. Scoreboard. And then, hold on, no spoilers.
Okay.
Griffin, Willow, opening track from Evermore versus 15, I think a seminal Fearless song.
I don't like 15, I'll say it.
Wow. Can't relate?
No. The biggest thing I would ever do is date a person on the football team. Date a jock? Come on now.
Right, like Erling Haaland.
Yeah. I would give it to Willow, I think is what it's going up against. Yeah.
I like Willow quite a bit. And then finally, Griffin, for the end of the first half of the first round, just want to be clear that that's what we just did. Never Grow Up from Speak Now versus Stay from Red.
Listen, I've been told by friends of mine when I present this take that this is because maybe I'm not as in touch with the feminine experience in life. Obviously, I can't experience that, but I think Never Grow Up is the worst Taylor Swift song.
Wow. And speak on that.
I think that the central message is cliche and cloying. I think that musically it's kind of aggravating. Mm. Obviously, it's something about it musically I really do not like.
I will say, as I like both these songs, I think Stay could also be considered musically aggravating as a song.
That is also true. I'm not advocating strong for Stay necessarily, but I don't like Never Grow Up. But if you feel strongly, I'm fine for it to lose to Willow.
She really was kind of trying to... She was doing a certain kind of song. You know, obviously there's The Best Day, which I think will come up later on this bracket. The
Best Day.
On
that's
Fearless.
Also kind of annoying.
That's, you know, from the perspective of a child to a parent, and then Never Grow Up, I think, is from the perspective of a parent to a child, which is an interesting perspective for a young person to take. I think that there are some really beautiful moments in that song. I do understand what you feel about the song, and I think that it is definitely valid. You know, Stay used to be one I loved, kind of has shrunk a bit in my estimation.
Is it still the one you love? Still the one you loved. Is that Taylor Swift's song? Still the one I long to. Jibby-dibby-dooby.
Okay, now it seems like you know that that's not a Taylor Swift song.
Is it not?
It seems... I think you have Shania Twain.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
You're still the one?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow, and here's a video, Griffin, of her performing in 1998, an anagram for 1989.
Wow, it all comes back together.
So it's all coming back to me now, Celine Dion. So it sounds like you
Canadian.
Gonna want to push Stay
through. That would be my vote.
All right, that is fine by me. And that concludes, again, just want to be clear, the first half of the first round.
That's one quarter of the matchups.
And Griffin, just to sneak this in here, there's only one NHL game on tonight. Who do you think's going to win between the Devils and the Sabres?
Oh my god, a clash of the Titans. The Sabres got booed off the ice last time out, so I'm going to give it to the New Jersey Devils.
Of course, New Jersey Devils just picked up a big win over the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yes, well, the Leafs looked terrible that game because they're a bad hockey team.
Yeah, a lot of...
Although they did look good against Washington last night.
Sure, but it's Washington, you know? The Devils, not technically out of the playoff race.
No, but...
Although...
Pretty disastrous season for them, all things considered.
Did you know... Also, this is just another sports thing, while we're talking about hockey. Did you know that there are, what, 16 teams in the Eastern Conference?
Yes.
Did you know that... Washington, the Washington Capitals, who are currently in the number two wildcard spot, have the 14th best goal differential in the conference.
Listen, teams find a way to win.
They are a minus 30. And that for comparison,
is honestly impressive.
Montreal, a team that has been bad all year, is a minus 46.
That's honestly credit to them. Like, to Saturday make the playoffs with 18. That bad of a goal differential? You're flying in the face of everything we claim to know about sports.
Yeah, they beat the analytics. We congratulate them for it. Okay, Griffin. Predictions? We'll probably talk about... I pray that we talk about some MLB or something soon.
Yeah.
Blue Jays play tonight.
Any they're winning the AL East. That's okay. My prediction. They look good yesterday, Chris. They look damn good.
Did look good. I don't know what to think yet.
You're not ready to make an evaluation after 9 innings of baseball?
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and George Springer are both on pace for 162 homers.
And so Kevin Biggio.
That would be a record-breaking season by all accounts.
Move over Aaron Judge.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah.
Please remember, et cetera, et cetera. Griffin Porter 97 on Twitter. C House and Jane on Twitter. HFLC Podcast. How many, between those three accounts, how many tweets came out this week? One?
I tweeted a few.
Okay. You're better about the Twitter game than I am.
Oh, and follow me at JOSALW at Joss Al. I haven't tweeted since 2018, but, you know, just shoot me a follow. Just in
JOSALW.
Case. That's Joe's Twitter handle. He's surpassed Connor for the worst Twitter handle among our guests. Last time I tweeted.
Until next time.
Last time I tweeted was a promo for the movie Boy Erased.
Please keep your foot high and your ceiling closed.
Bye.